Amen. Let's turn back to Genesis this evening. Genesis chapter 3, we'll pick up where we were. As we were looking at the discourse here on Adam's fall, the transgression of Adam and Eve, and they found themselves in the garden naked, and God asked them, how do you know that you're naked? Did you eat of that fruit that I commanded you to not eat of? And he said then, well, I have, but it was the woman thou gavest me. Isn't it interesting how sin always wants to put it off on somebody else? And Eve put it off on the devil. And of course the devil puts it off on God. And I think we can learn something from that. We need to own up to our sins, don't we? We need to realize when we're the man. And when the Holy Spirit is dealing with areas of our life that need to be addressed, that need to be brought to light. You see, sin in your life will always cause you to run and hide from God. And we saw that here in the garden. You know, we saw that immediately when transgression had manifested itself, that they begin to withdraw themselves. The minute you see yourself uncomfortable, not wanting to be in fellowship with the saints, wanting to begin to isolate, you need to start searching your heart and realize sin is beginning to take root in you somewhere. Whenever there's not that zeal, that hunger for the presence of God in prayer and the hunger for His Word and the refreshing that comes from that communion with Him, then it's obvious that sin is beginning to take root and beginning to get a hold of our minds and our hearts again. And how we need to run to Him in repentance, amen? How we need to take 1 John 1 night and delight in that, praise God, and realize that if we sin, all we need to do is come to Him and confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Immediate restitution, praise God. 7 times 70. We were dealing with an incident in the back that just keeps reoccurring in some people's lives here in our fellowship. And one of the pastors looked at me and he said, "Dear God," he said, "what number are we on?" And I said, "It's 69. Hallelujah. There's still more grace left. Amen. It's only 69. He gets one more chance. Praise God. Let's give him one more chance. Aren't you glad that God always gives us one more chance? Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you. I say, I need that. Praise God. Amen. If there's nobody sitting next to you, that's your job next week. Bring somebody. Praise God. Amen. There's no reason for any of these seats to be empty when there's souls that need to be reached. Amen. People that we need to go out and say, you need to be here. I know where the Word of God's being taught. I know where you'll be challenged by the Holy Ghost. I know where your life can be changed. I'll come and pick you up. Praise God. Amen. Do something about it. Be hungry and begin to let God use you in this hour. The night's coming when none of us can work. You know, I told you I was reading that book on the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus Movement. And the one thing that came so natural, they were not taught this in any way. And you'll see why, because of this teaching that we're going to be sharing tonight. It doesn't need to be taught. When you encounter Jesus and your life is transformed, you got to tell somebody. Amen? You got to tell somebody. And Andrew findeth Peter. Amen. And we realize that when there's that hunger and that thirst. And I'm not just talking about people that need to be redeemed. I'm talking about the Christians you run into that are ignorant of the Word of God. Tell them, there's a place, they look at you and they're astounded. And we see this up at Carlisle and they're like, man, the Word of God that just pours out of you guys. They don't know the Word. You start talking to them. They don't know the Word of God. I know a place where you can come and be discipled and trained up. Praise God. Amen. And that was these kids that were coming off the streets. The first thing they did, they didn't say, let's run to this concert. Let's run to this para church type thing. Let's run to this organization. The very first thing they did was make sure you got to come to church. Praise God. You got to come to the church, the real church, where mature people are. We're new converts. You see, many of these young people didn't think they knew it all the moment they got saved. They knew they had to be taught. They began to see that there was a life that was before them that they knew nothing about. And as the Word began to be real in their lives, praise God, they gave themselves over to making disciples. They would spend hours and hours sitting around together studying the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God. And it wasn't running to this event or this playtime or this ball game or anything else. They were saturated with the presence of God and with the Word of God. Oh, Father, bring us to that. In this community, that we could see these souls touched, lives transformed in the little time that we have left. And they heard the voice of God in the garden and they hid themselves. They hid themselves, Genesis says, from the presence of God. How often do we find ourselves hiding ourselves from the presence of God? Meditate upon it day and night, and then your way will be made prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen? This is the presence of God. And when this wisdom and knowledge of good and evil came into them, and this independent spirit and this love for independence and this love for the world that comes and slowly chokes the Word of God out of our lives, Jesus taught us in the parable. What were those thorns? What is that that came in and I used to have life and I used to have vitality and I don't have it anymore. I don't have that hunger. I don't have that burning in my spirit for the lost. I don't have that desire to pray like I used to. What's happening? You're being choked to death by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Because if this word is not being choked out, then we're progressing into His likeness. Amen? We have our consciences washed with the water of the Word of God. And so they hide themselves and the Lord speaks to them in this condition. And we left off with verse 9 this morning of this third chapter, and it said, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? You know, there could be another way to phrase that. What condition do I find you in? How are you doing? God's calling out to us on a daily basis, that still small voice of the Holy Ghost that says, this is the way, walk in it. God calling out, concerned of every one of our lives, saying, how are you doing today? What's your walk like? Don't you think that maybe we owe it to one another to have that same concern? How are you doing? How's your walk? Why? What are you doing? Questioning me. What do you think? What do you think you're more righteous? Dear Lord, if that's your response and you can't receive love for what it is, then you do have a problem. Amen? Love doesn't think evil of that person's love for your soul and their inquiry into how you're doing. The church used to greet one another. Do I find you praying? Amen. Maybe that would be a good greeting for us to have. Do I find you praying? Do I find you in the presence of God? Let's say it another. Do I find you about the Father's business? Jesus made that comment very clear when they couldn't find him. He said, if I'm ever somewhere where you don't know where I am, know this, I'm about Father's business. I'll be at my Father's house. Praise God. And so God called out to them and inquired about their life. And we see it in Luke 19. We can turn over there real quickly, and it's said here so succinctly in the 19th chapter of Luke. And it's just such a very interesting thing to see that as Jesus is ministering to Zacharias or to Zacchaeus, and we see this ministry given to him, and we see the heart change in his life to where when his life is changed, and you know, when somebody's life really encounters Jesus, we know they become a new creation. Amen. Old things pass away. All things become new. Those old treasures of our life are no longer the treasures. Isn't it interesting that this wee little man, it says, the half of his goods I've given to the poor. He goes on and says, and if I have taken anything from any man falsely, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come into this house. Praise God. Today's the day of our salvation. Many of us have transgressed against people in this room and haven't made things right. Many of us think saying I'm sorry is enough. Repentance means to turn away from, to change the course, to go in the opposite direction. Amen? We can't say that we've repented and continue down the same path as Jeff was teaching on unity and harmony. You can't continue on the same path with these people. We can't continue having any strife or divisions among us in this community. We can't have taken advantage of someone and just blown it off thinking that because God has justified us or God has forgiven us and cleansed us from that iniquity that we're still not responsible for things that we've done to bring harm to other people's lives. And I don't know of anything in particular that I'm thinking of at this moment in my mind. The point that I'm making of all of this is when Jesus is alive in our hearts, we want to make everything right. Praise God. Amen. We want to be right with God. We want to be right with husband, with wife, with parents. There's just something about having that encounter with Jesus. There's just something about answering that call that we're talking about here of the inquiry of the Holy Spirit. How are you doing? Are you all right? Adam, where are you? Put your own name in there. We're not in fellowship like we used to be. I don't see the zeal there anymore. I don't see that righteous indignation against sin, the condition of the world. You know, we talked about the love we're to have this morning for the unlovely, but I want to tell you something. We need to hate this world system. We need to hate the sin that's in it. We need to hate what's happening as lives are being consumed and destroyed before our very eyes. not partake of the same thing they're doing and say, it won't hurt me, I'm going to do it in moderation. That's the foolishness of alcohol. We got people in here that want to take the liberty every once in a while of having a cold one because, you know, that's the only thing that quenches my thirst on a hot day. God made water. Amen? There is no scripture that says this bud's for you. But there is a scripture. Amen? That says strong drink is a raging force. And it brings about foolishness in the hearts of men. And anyone who consumes alcohol and is drunken thereby is not wise. Well, I don't drink until I'm drunk. You cannot get drunk if you don't drink. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Amen?
Amen?
Give no place to the devil. You want some no drinking verses? Let me give you one of the real strong ones and such like. Amen? How you doing? And God's calling you, and that still small voice is saying, get out from among them. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't touch the unclean thing. And there's so much uncleanness and so many ways to access it in our society, in our generation today. Come out. Separate yourself. Get still in the presence of God. Begin to get a perspective of the world from the biblical perspective. And the Bible says, love what God loves and hate what God hates. Amen?
Amen.
This call to holiness. And so Zacchaeus here, having experienced true generation, salvation had come to his house. It's seen by his actions. Regeneration is observable. Let me move on, and we see this call. And so as Jesus is ministering this and pronounces that redemption on his life, he says, for the Son of Man is come or has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That little phrase there is so precious. The Son of Man has come. He's the seeker, as we were saying this morning. God's the one that's always making sure, he's the seeker, that our relationship with him is right. God's always the one that initiates there's a breach. We run and hide. We pout. We get involved in self-pity. We judge God. I don't understand why God would allow this to happen in my life. I don't understand why he would die for your sins, but he did. Amen? You know, not understanding everything's not always bad. I don't understand why God allows a lot of things to happen. I don't spend my time trying to understand what God is doing. I spend my time trying to understand who God is. To know Him more. And the one thing I've come to know is this, God is love, praise God. And love always seeks the good, the welfare of the object being loved. God wants us to be of total well-being, or let's say it scripturally, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? A life of well-being. A life that is saturated with His presence. With the eternal promises being made more real in our lives on a daily basis. To where we begin to not get caught up in the affairs and the cares of this life. But we press on, seeing that invisible city, praise God. And we know that all of these things are but a vapor. This life is a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow, praise God. Many of us that have been praying for needs in our midst here and concerned with overcoming that last enemy called death, and many of us warring on that behalf, and we're focusing on certain issues. I want to tell you something. You could die before that individual might die. What about your soul? I want you to know something. The time's appointed. Amen? The time's appointed, and there's nothing going to change it. All the sovereignty of God, and I'm not going to get off on that subject. We know that at certain specific times in the scriptures, people cried out to God and He would extend their lives and do miracles to show His greatness and to extend His mercy and gentleness and long suffering. Beloved, don't fear death. Fear the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You will die, and you will be judged. Amen? And the Lord has come to seek and to save the lost. He's always initiating it. I don't want to get off on the guidance thing, but we know that our steps are ordered by the Lord, praise God. And we know that men, you know, we come up with great imaginations and what we think to be wise, a man's desires and discernings of his own heart. But the Lord directs our paths, the scripture says. God always seeks us out and gets us back on course. Amen? Are you in the midst of trials and tribulations tonight? God is here seeking you and crying your name out right now, saying, I just want you to know, I'm here with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. You feel like somehow you're cast down, you're in darkness. God seeks us out, and at our greatest and weakest moments, like He did with Paul, gives him revelation that you're never stronger than when you're at your weakest point, praise God. For my grace is sufficient for you, amen? That's the revelation, and you can never receive that revelation until you come to your wit's end. That revelation is never clear of strength being made perfect in weakness as long as you still have any strength. But oh, the tasting of that grace of God. Amen? I sought the Lord 3 times to take this thing from me. And He said, my grace is sufficient. I've got greater things for you to learn. The whole trial He was in was because of the abundance of His revelations. Amen? We read His great revelations. He had revelations that we can't read because it wasn't even lawful to speak. He saw the revelation and penned the scriptures. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us out of them all. And then He was martyred. Hallelujah. Oh, the goodness of God. Amen. The mercies of God. What do we learn from that? We learn that all that God has revealed to us is not limited to this temporal life. There is a greater. There is a greater habitation. There is a greater communion available to us. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, hallelujah. Oh, we're so in love with this world. We're so afraid of this death process and all of these different things and afflictions. And it's natural to us. It's something that's innate within mankind. All of these self-defense mechanisms that go off. Everything that God has placed in us to preserve us. And then He works a whole lifetime in us to get rid of all those things. To get them all put aside. That we could finally rest in Him. To the place that when there's no strength left in us to pursue Him, we know Him as the seeker of our soul. He'll find us and He'll restore us and He will heal us. And He will give us grace sufficient to finish this course and to glorify His name. And so we see the purpose in the heart of God. And the point that I want to make is we see these things that appear at times to be exceptions. And we've talked about God's sovereignty. But we've been trying to get us to come back and focus on the obvious, the sure and revealed and sound doctrine of God's Word and what He delights for us to have. And that's why I wanted to take a little time today and just point us to that one aspect of God, to know that even when you are so beat down that you feel like you can't make your way back to God, there's good news. You're not lost. He's seeking you down, praise God. Keep your cell phone on you. He's got you dialed in. He knows where you're at, praise God. Or we could be like those guys, you know, we talked about false doctrine these last days. We're so gullible. There's this preacher that has convinced people that he has a direct line to God on the telephone. And he's selling God's phone number to people. And people are giving him money. I wonder who's on the other end of that thing. Can we rest in this tonight? God knows exactly where we are in this journey. Our God, who is not willing that any would perish, is daily ordering your steps according to His will and for your good purpose. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. God is constantly seeking and watching over us on a daily basis. I love what the prophet says in Jeremiah 31. Turn over there a passage that many of us know, and we see this great admonition in Jeremiah's prophecy. So encouraging to our lives. Jeremiah 31. The Lord has appeared of old, saying, yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, praise God. You see, He draws us. You know, Romans is very clear. No man seeks God, as we shared this morning. That's within us that is pursuing God is initiated by the Holy Spirit who is leading us into all truth. Amen? That's not even being initiated of us. The initiation is of God. The submission and the choice of free will to embrace that leadership and that guidance is ours to make. We can deny Him or we can accept it. But God is initiating us on this course to Christ-likeness. Amen. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. And with loving kindness, I'm constantly drawing you to myself. I'm seeking you out. A still small voice saying, this is the way. Now, many of us don't like it, but as we shared before, you know, much of this is done through God's chastening. Remember, chastening is not always punitive. It's not punishment. Chastening is disciplining. It's a way of making sure that our lives, these carnal lives that so want to serve self and flesh and are anything but diligent in pursuit. Talking about this old man that has to be crucified on a daily basis. The promise that sin, chapter 6 of Romans, no longer has dominion over us doesn't mean it doesn't have the capacity. It means it no longer has the legal right, but we need to reject it, praise God. We need to identify it. We need to pull it down. We need to be very careful that we understand what sin is, and you can't categorize them by certain events that someone might find themselves involved in. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen? Omission of obedience and doing what God wants us to do is sin. Putting off what God's calling us to be today is sin. And we need to confess it and we need to see it for it is. All unrighteousness, the scripture says, is sin, praise God. Sin is transgression of the law. And we get distracted And instead of seeing those truths that the Word of God speaks so clearly, these general revelations of what sin is, we start getting caught up in some of our, you know, in some of our sociological church groups, and it has to do, you know, with whether or not we look a certain way or dress a certain way or we put on makeup or we, however it is that we dance over here and we do this over. None of that matters. Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? You see, to not hear this voice, the Spirit is leading us into truth. He is seeking us out and drawing us to Himself. Come and learn of me, He says. And so I want our hearts to be comforted with that. God knows right where you are. And He's seeking you out where you are today and calling you to a greater understanding of who He is and what He has for your life. Great promises. Exceeding great and precious promises that God has given to us. We're a blessed people. God's doing the seeking. I don't remember who it was that coined the phrase, but it's so appropriate as the Holy Spirit was lovingly referred to as the hound of heaven. He just sniffs us out. We hide in all of our, you know, it's amazing how many Christians try to hide in their knowledge of the Word of God. We try to deflect the real issues of our heart by using other scriptures, justifying ourselves as if God doesn't know those other verses. Well, which verse here has the most authority? Which verse is causing you to die to yourself and glorify God? That's the one that has the most authority. When you see two that seem to be in conflict at the moment. Choose the one that kills you. Amen? Choose the one that glorifies God. Choose the one that agrees with that still small voice that's going off in you that you're trying to get away from. God's Word, God's Spirit leading us into all truth, praise God. You know, that 34th chapter of Ezekiel gives us such a glimpse into the heart of God and His love for us as the Good Shepherd. The Lord constantly laying His life down for us, and as the great prophet speaks in Ezekiel, and we know that he's speaking of the leadership in Israel at that particular time and how they're going after other gods and they're whoring themselves after other nations. And we see, you know, in Jeremiah 23, we see parallel passages, but this Ezekiel passage brings about some great revelation in chapter 34. And he says, where'd it go? 34. Verse 12, as the shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep, those that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. You know, in those dark days of your life, when you feel like you're lost, God's seeking you at that moment. You are that one that He leaves the 99 and pursues, praise God. I want you to know, don't run from Him. Don't hide from His presence. Let Him gather you up and put you on His shoulders and bring you back home, praise God. There's some of us sitting in here tonight that need that very illustration to become a reality in our lives. God knows where you are. He knows the condition you're in, and He loves you anyway. And all the distance that you put between you and Him, you hear His voice. You hear His Word thundering by the Holy Ghost in your own spirit, and you keep running and you keep running and you try to plug your ears, and that voice cannot be resisted. And God's Spirit calling you to repentance, to fall upon the rock and be broken. And you run and you run and you run and you separate yourself. I want you to know something. The moment you stop and turn and cry out to God, He instantly closes that gap. Praise God. Many of us have experienced that. Many of us here were not raised in church. Many of us have come out of some difficult places. I was sharing a little bit of the testimony, I might have referred to it this morning, I don't remember, but the Greg Laurie, and you see him and you hear him today, and you would think that he might have been raised up in your typical, you know, 1960s home. You know, not every home in the early 60s had hippies in them. There was still the remnant of the 50s going on. Not everybody liked the Beatles when they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Those long-haired insects from Britain. Not everybody was dropping acid. Not everybody experienced Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Not everybody experienced One Toke Over the Line, Sweet Jesus. Not everybody was using a Jefferson airplane for their reefers. But as some of his testimony was shared and how he became one of the youth that was forgotten, that was cast off, that had never felt a mother's embrace, that had never heard from an adult the words, I love you, whose only perception of adults was they will lie to you and they will disappoint you. And to see this young man and his background, and I think I referred to it this morning. His mother married 7 times, men every morning, different men in her bedroom. The times that he had to find her without clothes on and in her own vomit and clean her and dress her as a teenage boy. We were talking about the broken people that are out there. And we look through this residential area and we see these nice homes and these 2- and 3-story homes, and we think that they're experiencing the American dream, and people are living in bondage and fear and terror. Help us, Lord, to reach these, professing themselves wise, they're fools. Give us a love for the broken and the lost. God's heart to seek these out that are broken. His word has revealed His method, and the method of reaching these are His church. And the power to set them free is the gospel. And the gospel cannot be heard unless there be a preacher. Here am I, Lord. Send me, praise God. How many of us are ready to deny ourselves and face the embarrassment and that we feel, oh, I might be embarrassed. I might make a mistake. I might be rejected. They might laugh at me. Lord God, help us to die to ourselves. And to love as we've been loved. What an hour we live in. And this heart of God that I'm speaking of tonight, this eternal desire to seek out the broken and the lost, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one, praise God. He came to seek and to save the lost. And He chose to do it by His church. That seeking heart for you, that seeking heart that's always there to bring you back into fellowship with Him, having known you and loved you, is the same heart that compels and drives us into the highways and the byways to compel them to come. As a shepherd,
As a shepherd, he says, seeks his flock, so will I seek my sheep. You know, his sheep know his voice, amen? And another they will not follow. That enlightenment, that illumination, once we've encountered the reality of God, He protects His sheep. He protects them from a lot of the false doctrines that are out there. From the charlatans that we were just speaking of that have God's phone number. The people that have words of knowledge for the church. And there's two separate rooms. You can get a $20 word of knowledge or a $100 word of knowledge. This is going on in large conventions with multiple thousands of people and being called the church and being called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How do we know what's of God? Let me tell you something. Anybody that charges you to come and hear the word of God is not of God. Anybody that charges you to come and hear them sing the gospel and sing praises to God is not God's heart. Oh, they might be saved, but they're not ministering the heart of God. You know, we made reference to the music industry today in the church. How far we've departed as we shared this morning. Do you know you used to could sit in church, those old hymns, and I want to tell you something, many of those old hymns, 1700s, 1800s, you can learn sound doctrine by just reading those hymns. And today we've got songs being written that you can't tell whether they're singing to another person or they're singing to God because the name of Jesus is never mentioned. The glory of God is never mentioned. The saving of souls is not mentioned. The restoring of the body of Christ and edifying of the body of Christ is not mentioned. They write songs that God has given them. And then want to charge you royalties to put them on the screen. If God gave you that song, then it's His, not yours. And it's for His church and for their edification. I have no problem with people not wanting God to sell their stuff for profit. But to let the church use it for free is the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, praise God. Amen. I don't have any problem with people giving my books away. Printing, copying, as long as they're not doing it for personal profit. If they're doing it to edify the body of Christ, then you do whatever you want, praise God. I don't care about copyright. The heart of the church. You know that quote I was giving, do you have that book? I brought it tonight, I remembered. This is just too good not to make reference to. I love the flower power van on the front. That's fitting. This is a guy that was Dr. Chuck Fromm, who was the head of Maranatha Music for many, many years. And his description of the music during the Jesus movement was this. It was fashioned for an audience of one, God, or fashioned to win a lost heart. It also sometimes had a childlike hootenanny quality to it. It knew nothing of recording studios. contracts, albums for sale. It was musical communication, heart to heart, abandon, lacking in self-consciousness, and endued with passion and excitement. And I thought that was a good, fair explanation. Oh, there were abuses. Everything was not perfect. It never is when you have people involved. And I believe that many who have gone astray and wanted to become professionals for God, I believe God's calling people back. I believe, see, I'm not putting these people down. I believe that many of them, God's seeking them from their own deception and pride and ambition. What am I saying? This all belongs to the church, praise God. It all belongs to Jesus. The laborer is worthy of their hire. I would encourage them to do what the Bible teaches. I didn't encourage them to do what I've done for 50 years. Just go out there and let God speak through you. And if somebody wants to give you something for it, thank God and go on from there, praise God. Anything that God initiates, He supports. The laborer is worthy of their hire, praise God. When we had our tapes back, you know, years ago, and all of that, 100% of every tape sale, 100% of every book, 100% recycles back into ministry. Not a penny went into my pocket. People stand amazed right now when we're in Africa. We can stand here as a fellowship and thank God for His goodness and His grace. I want you to know something. We have never taken a dime out of Africa, praise God. You people are givers. You're the givers. You're the lovers, praise God, of these souls that have been over there. You've given abundantly, praise God, expecting nothing in return, but believing for a harvest of souls. I'm just saying all that to say this. It's a long way of getting around there. But I believe much of the super church syndrome is going to be torn down in these last days. I believe there's going to become an awareness of this false seeker-friendly doctrine that's been promoted as the gospel. I believe there's going to be a return to biblical Christianity, praise God, as we see the Spirit preparing His church in this last day. And if that's what's going to be taking place, then you and I have to begin to purpose in our hearts that we're going to be teachable. We're going to hear what the Holy Spirit says. We're going to be ready to change when the pillar of fire moves, we move, praise God. I'd encourage some of you right now to pull up your tent stakes. Just use Velcro. And be ready to move. And so we see the Spirit of God and the Word of God manifesting itself. That everlasting love drawing us back to Himself, the church. Seeking those of us in our times of danger. In the times that we find ourselves in error, and we've all been there at one time or another. Get quiet. The next thing you will hear is the voice of God, because He's calling to you. Are you okay? How you doing? Would you like my strength to be made perfect in your weakness? Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? God not allowing us to be tempted past that we're able. Are we ready yet for the deliverance? Are we ready yet for the full surrender? Are we ready yet to exchange our treasures for His? Our lordship for His? How much longer are we going to hold on? How much longer are you going to resist this voice of God? We spoke this morning to some of you and we've shared that that voice is speaking to you concerning these issues of life. That some of you here tonight are that lost sheep, and God has sent His Word and His Spirit tonight to draw you back. Jesus is here, ready to pick you up and put you on His shoulders. As the prodigal son, are you tired and living in the pig pen of self-will? Are you ready to head home? I've got good news for you tonight. The moment you repent in your heart and change course, He sees you afar off, the Scripture says. He sees the moment you change, the moment your heart changes. He's there to meet you, praise God. Father, I ask You right now to do that work in these souls that are here tonight, who are in desperate need of Your direction and Your deliverance, that their hearts would begin to cry out in desperation that they are truly undone. Every time they take their life into their hands, they destroy themselves and everything around them. God, set souls free here tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm aware of a couple of situations that this is already in action. There's some others here that are being spoken to though that are not outwardly known. Today's your day. What's your choice? God completely changed everything we were going to do in these meetings today to send you this message. This was not a message prepared. And as you stand tonight, as everyone stands, those of you, you know who you are, that God is speaking to you. I'm asking you to get out of your seats, to come forward here and begin to cry out to God to set you free once and for all. Praise God. You've heard His voice. He's seeking you now, and He will not always strive with men. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of you just begin to pray, and let's begin to thank God for His love and His mercy. If you're here and you want to be free, then come. If not, then it's on your hands, praise God. It's on your head. Glory to God. Just everyone stand where you are and just begin to praise the Lord and intercede for those that may have this need tonight. We're not going to tarry long. This is not a thing that needs revelation. This is a thing that needs repentance. Praise God. You already know your condition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we delight in You. We make You big in this place tonight. We rejoice in Your goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we delight in you. As the Holy Spirit begins to minister through the body right now, if you see some that have come and your heart is broken on their behalf, maybe some that you've been interceding for, just slip out of your seat and come and begin to take with them this warfare, praise God. It ends tonight, praise God. The bondage ends tonight. The victory is yours here tonight, praise God. It's as simple as a choice. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we delight in your mercy and your goodness. Father, we come tonight to receive that goodness, that grace, Father. Oh, Marasibatan Sebarababasata. Jesus, Jesus, break our hearts, Lord. Glory to God. Oh my soul, mama masanda la bashara babasata. Your mercies to us. Thank you for your loving kindness. You're giving up your life tonight. That's what you're doing. You're giving up your life tonight. You're being removed from the throne. You're finally acknowledging your weakness, your inability, your rebellious heart, your pride. It's going to change. The things you used to do, you're not going to do anymore, praise God. You're going to begin to seek help. Those that can escort you in this walk, those that will disciple you. Some of you see yourselves as the teachers and you need to be taught. You need to humble yourself. Hallelujah. It's not an emotion. It's not how you feel. It's not whether you get goosebumps. You make a choice. You have a God-given will that is stronger than temptation. It's stronger than the power of sin that's been broken through the blood of Jesus. And you can choose to be free tonight. Because of the finished work of Jesus, our choice is to accept your redemption, your finished work. I renounce self, I renounce sin, I renounce Satan in my life, and I declare Jesus as full Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If those of you that have come would like more time just with God, just come up to the altar and just find a place to kneel if you would like. You can stay and pray and seek God as long as you want. The rest of you just continue with intercession and just begin to believe that God will move. If you'd like to come with these that have come and pray with them, then continue, praise God. If you're not going to pray anymore, then find some of those who have prayed with you and confess to them with your mouth what God has just done in your life. Find somebody and tell them what God has just done, the deliverance that's taken place, the powers that have been broken that had you in bondage, and that Jesus has made you free tonight, praise God. And boast in it. Paul said, I boast in my infirmities. I boast in all of those failures. I couldn't do it, but Jesus has redeemed me and His grace has been sufficient. And in my weakness, His strength is perfected. Hallelujah. Oh, we delight in it, Lord. We delight in it, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. My soul, my sandra, baba shata. Hendelele bisharia sandete baba sata. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we rejoice in you. If you want to leave as the Spirit has ministered through you, you want to slip out, just slip out quietly. These are going to stay and pray. Others that might want to stay and pray with them, or you just seeking, Father, this whole room is an altar right now. It's for prayer, not fellowship. And let's just continue in the presence of God. God's peace go with you. Praise God.